Unfortunately, that's the turf of the Rabbanus, is to have emergencies come up.
I remember one of the best pieces of advice I got when I came here. Of course, everybody gave me advice. In particular from people who have never been Rabbonim, but Rav Kornfeld told me, he said, you need to know most situations are not urgent. Most shailas, he said to me, are not urgent, especially the pikuach nefesh ones. And that has proven to be the case. You know, people call, 50 times, oh, urgent shaila. You know, when we had our twins in Elul, we had the babies were born on Wednesday. 2 days later, or 3 days later, was Motzah Shabbos. I was driving to the hospital to see my wife. It was the first night of Slichas. So I think anybody with at least half a brain might have possibly worked out that I was a little bit busy. We just had twins, just cleaned up from Shalom Zacha. There was Slichas that night. This was 10 days before Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah was Monday night this year. Okay, so I'm driving. There's a guy who calls me. I couldn't answer, obviously, whilst I'm driving. He calls a second time. Then he calls a third time. And then he calls a fourth time. And then he calls a fifth time. So five times. So obviously, this is serious pikuach nefesh. Somebody is dying. This is mamish. Fine. Eventually, I spoke to him. You know what his shaila was? His shaila was, my wife is on a diet. And she's being very, very careful, especially with foods that have sugar in it. Now, because the minhag on Rosh Hashanah night is to have, you know, pomegranates and things which have sugar, does my wife have to have the pomegranate? Okay, he's calling me at 12 o'clock at night, five times. 2 days after I've had twins, 10 days before Rosh Hashanah, he needs to know, does his wife have to have the pomegranate Friday and Rosh Hashanah night because she can't have sugar.
I just
kind of
text from Nachum. He
can't get in. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let's see if this works.
Oh, here he is.
Okay. Thank you.
So, yeah, I once got a call at quarter past 12 at midnight. Quarter past midnight, I got a call from a woman here in the Shechuna. She said, I just wanted to know, am I chayev to do my machreinim before benching? It's like quarter past midnight. So, yeah. Okay, let's have a look back into the Gemara on Daf Mem. Ches Omad Beis.
She was having a late Malava Malka, wasn't she?
She was having a late Malava Malka. I got a call a few weeks ago at 1:30 in the morning. Now, if you get a call at 1:30 in the morning, surely it's got to be an emergency, surely. So somebody in our Kehillah, who we know, was having a baby. So when he called at 1:30 in the morning, I thought, okay, obviously he's got an urgent shaila with a birth, I don't know. So he calls me and says, yep, I just want to tell you that we're in an ambulance now on the way to the hospital. I said, yeah, so what's the shaila? He said, no, I just wanted to tell you we're on the way. It's at 1:30 in the morning. So at that point, I thought I better switch off my phone. And when I woke up at 6 in the morning, I saw a missed call at 2:32 in the morning.
You know, the day it arrived at the hospital.
Right. At 2:32, there was a missed call. So I called him. I said, is everything okay? He said, yeah, Baruch Hashem, we had a baby in the middle of the night. I tried calling you. I said, ah, Baruch Hashem, what time was the baby born? He said, at 2:30. So 2 minutes later, he felt it was pikuach nefesh to call me to have a baby. Okay, Baruch Hashem for good news, says the Gemara.
In these people's defenses, I've gotten emails from the Rebbe at 4:30 in the morning, so people just might think the Rebbe's up.
Oh, it's my fault. You're quite right. You're quite right. People do think that, actually. I got a call also after 1:00 in the morning recently. It was the night that we changed the clocks. So I said, why are you calling me at 1:15 in the morning? He said, yeah, well, I always call you late and you answer. So I figured you'd be up. Okay. You know, there's a tremendous maisa with the great Chabina Rav. Great Chabina Rav. It was a Boki B'chol HaTorah Kula on one occasion, on Shabbos afternoon, he was having a rest, and a kid banged on his door, banged incessantly on the door. And eventually he had no choice. He realized he's not going to get much sleep with this child banging on the door. So he answered the door, and he saw it was a young child, and the child wanted to ask him a question in learning. So the Tshibbin Rav answered patiently, and then the Tshibbin Rav said to him in a very delicate fashion, he said, you banged very hard. I was actually having a rest at the time. Just you should know for next time. So the child looked to him with all the innocence of a child and said, oh, really? I didn't think a Gadol B'Yisrael has a rest on Shabbos afternoon. I thought you'd be learning.
Ooh.
So the Tshibbin Rav that so to heart, he said, well, if a young child expects me to be learning on Shabbos afternoon, not having a rest. So from then on, he never had a rest on Shabbos afternoon, and he spent the time learning.
Whoa.
Okay. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. About halfway down the Omer, first word on the line is Tanakama. At the end of that line, Tana Rabbanan. Minayin lebirkas hamozoin min hatoiro. Very important Gemara. Here we are discussing Birkas Hamazon for months. So the Gemara says, how do you know that Birkas Hamazon is midoiraisa, is minatir? Shenemar, because it says, v'ochalto, v'sovoto, uverachto. V'ochalto, v'sovoto, uverachto. You must eat, you must be satisfied, and you must bench. Says the Gemara, we now darshan word by word. Now there's a question on what the correct girsa is. If you look, there's a little aleph in parenthesis and there's a little asterisk there. So the question is, what exactly is the actual correct nusach? So if you look at the side of your Gemara, at least in my edition, there's a little star, and in the margin it says that you've got to amend the Gemara a little bit. The text as we have it doesn't quite make sense. And the way you've got to read it is as follows, and I'm reading it with the notes in the margin. Remember, what exactly is the Lashon of the Pasuk? V'ochalto v'savato uvirachto es Hashem Elokecha. So with the note in the margin, you have to read it as follows. V'ochalta v'savata u'berachta zu birkas hazimun. This refers to zimun. Each word is going to teach us a different halacha. Zu birkas hazimun. After that, es Hashem Elokecha zu birkas
hazon,
meaning in our Gemara it says es Hashem Elokecha zu birkas hazimun, and the first one is zu birkas hazon, but the footnote at the side of the page is switching them round. V'chalta v'savata v'irachta zu birkas hazimun, followed by Hashem Elokecha, which is Birkas Hazon, which would seem to indicate that both the principle of Zimun and also this first bracha of Hazon is Min HaTorah. You'll remember in the early on Gemara we saw that the different brachas were composed by various people. Bracha of Hazon was composed by Moshe Rabbeinu when they had the Mon. Birkas Noida Lecho Ala Oretz was by Yeshua Ben Nun when they came to Eretz Yisrael, and David V'Shloimoi composed the third bracha of Bnei Yerushalayim. The fourth is a rabbinic enactment when they were sacking it in Harugei Beita. So back into the Gemara. Es Hashem Elokecha, as we said before, Zu Birkas Hazon. Next words in the Pasuk. Al ha'oretz, zu birkas ha'oretz, which is a chiddush. Even though this is written in the pasuk in the Mutaira, but it was only actually composed much, much later by Yeshua ben Nun when they came into Eretz Yisrael. So clearly, however, when the Torah says Ha'aretz, this is a reference to what Yeshua will compose, but at least the concept that there has to be a bracha thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Eretz Yisrael exists in the Torah. Next word, Hatoiva, when it says Al Ha'aretz, Hatoiva, Asher Nosanach, the word Hatoiva, quote unquote, first word on the line, Hatoiva, Zu Boine Yerushalayim. So again, the Torah is referring to a bracha that was actually written hundreds of years later. At the time the Torah was written, neither David nor Shlomo were born yet. And they were the ones, as the Gemara taught us, who composed the bracha of Boinei Yerushalayim. So clearly the Torah in this pasuk is alluding to the bracha that's going to be written much later on. Now, why does the word Hatoiva refer to Yerushalayim? I understand why the word Ha'aretz refers to Eretz Yisrael, obvious connection. But what does it mean? Why is Hatoiva a reference to Yerushalayim? So the Gemara says, because V'chein hu oimer, because similarly it is written with regard to Yerushalayim, Ha'har Hatoiv Hazeh V'halavonoin. Ha'har Hatoiv. What does it mean on this good mountain? Which good mountain? The mountain on which the Beis HaMikdash is built. So you see that the Beis HaMikdash is referred to as Toiv, such that when it says in the Torah, Ha'aretz HaToiva, Toiva is a reference to Beis HaMikdash. Asher Nosan Loch. So again, these are the last words in the Pasuk. V'chalta v'savata v'rachta Ha'aretz HaToiva Asher Nosan Loch. Asher Nosan Loch Zu HaToiv V'Ametiv. Now here is where we get stuck. How can the Torah possibly be referring to the bracha of Hatoiv Hametiv if we were taught before that Hatoiv Hametiv is only Midrabbanon? And it was composed by the Rabbonim in Yavneh after the Nes of Harugei Beta. So obviously, we have no other choice but to say, you're right, this is not a real drasha. As we have seen on many, many, many occasions before, sometimes we quote a pasuk as if to say that a halacha is derived from a pasuk, but it's what we call an asmachta. Asmachta means we are relying or leaning, as it were, on the pasuk, but it's not an absolute drosha min ha-Torah. So here, this cannot be a drosha min ha-Torah, cannot be a real out-and-out drosha, because the Torah cannot be referring to something which is totally rabbinic in nature. So there we have it. We are learning Zimun and all four brachas of benching from various psukim. As we just mentioned, the psukim cannot be out and out real droshas d'oraisa, and they may well just be an asmachta. By the way, at the moment, the internet connection is clear?
Yes.
Yes. Right.
Says the Gemara.
Rav, do we say that it's just the last piece that's asmachta or all of them?
Well, that's the thing. Once I have the last one as an asmachta, so I don't now know if any of them are literal. Meaning, we've mentioned in the past, is the principle of Zimun min ha-Torah or midrabbanon? And we clearly say it's midrabbanon. Well, if it was midrabbanon, how did we begin this sugya by saying, v'ochalta v'savata v'rachta zu azimun? That sounds like you're learning it from a pasuk, then it is min ha-Torah. So that's a little bit alarming. But once you get to the end of the braisa that talks about Hatoiv Hametiv also being learned from a pasuk, well, that clearly shows me that at least some or all or part, I don't anymore know, but clearly these are not referring to deraisas. So therefore, I don't really have a proof from this Gemara either that Zimun is min ha-Torah, is midrabbanon, is min ha-Torah, might well be midrabbanon. Says the Gemara. And we'll see, this is very, very, very noigeya to the continuation of the Gemara now. Says the Gemara, Ein li elo la'acharov, comma. So I only have a pasuk teaching me that you've got to make a bracha la'acharov, lefonov minayin. When the Torah says, v'ochalta v'savata uveirachta, in that order, so the Torah is clearly saying, eat and then make a bracha. So there's no reference in the Torah whatsoever to making a bracha before the v'ochalta, only after the v'ochalta. And that's what the Gemara is querying. Ein li ela la'acharov. How do I know? What about the lefonov? Says the Gemara, Omrat, we say, kal v'chaymer. It's a kal v'chaymer. Why is it a kal v'chaymer? Kesher hu soveya. If when he is satiated, v'chalta v'savata, mavarech, he makes a bracha, comma. Kesher hu ra'ev. When he's hungry, like kol shekein, question mark. Isn't that even more obvious that you make a bracha? Now, why is that more obvious? So have a look at Rashi, kishahu seveya, top of the page. Third narrow line, kishahu seveya. Says Rashi, if kashu soveya mitzvah levarech ulahoidais al savoi, if the Torah is teaching you that you've got to make a bracha of thanksgiving on that feeling of being satiated, kashu ra'ev, when he is hungry, isn't it more obvious? Why is it more obvious? Says Rashi, kishuhu ra'ev, v'hu ba, and he's coming, l'hofik es ra'evoi, to soothe his hunger, al yedei briyosei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through the creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, loy kol shekein. Isn't that even more obvious, shezeh, sorich, levorich, l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yoyse? In other words, if when you've eaten your meal and you're satiated and you're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but after I'm satiated, at the moment, I'm not in need. I was in need, but I'm no longer in need. And yet, you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu about the past. So the Gemara says, this is the way Rashi is explaining, Kol Shekein, therefore, if I really am in need, because I'm hungry. And here I have a food which was created obviously by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what's going to take me out of need. So kol shekein, I needed to be even more thankful. So therefore, if you're asked, what's the source of the fact you have to make a bracha prior to eating? The way the Gemara is teaching us is, I don't actually need a new pasuk. It's obvious. Why is it obvious? Because if I have to make a bracha after the food, Kol Shekein, have to make a bracha prior to the food.
Didn't we have a Gemara once that taught us why we make brachos first?
Very good. Wasn't
it Pasuk Lashemaris Malal, I think?
Nachum, you have a good memory. This is the first daf in the Gemara in
Sukkah.
The sixth parak of brachos of Ketzad Mavorachim. And the Gemara says, "Lashem Aretz Umloyo." It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, and yet it also says, "Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem V'Ha'aretz Nosan Livnei Adam." Gemara says, "If you make a bracha, then the food becomes yours." More problematic is as follows, and that's why I said this is based on what we were discussing before. If you're learning Birkas Hamozain, which is the bracha la'acharov, and you're learning that from a pasuk, and then the Gemara says, very nice that you've told me the bracha afterwards, How do I know the bracha before? And you tell me that it's a kal v'chaymer, it's a kol shekein. So doesn't that necessarily land us with the inescapable conclusion that the bracha lefonov must also be min ha-Torah? Anybody who davened shachris this morning, which I hope is everybody, we said in davening as follows. Rabbi Yishmael Oymar, Bishloish Esrei Midois HaTorah Nidreshes Bohen. And what's the first one?
Kal v'chaymer.
Kal v'chaymer. The first one is a kal v'chaymer. Rabbi Yishmael taught us that there are 13 ways of decoding, as it were, the Torah, and the first one is a kal v'chaymer, which means a kal v'chaymer is a doiraisa tool. It's a doiraisa principle. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has told me this is the way that you must interpret and decode the Torah with 13 tools, and one of them is a kal v'chaymer. So if the Torah says A, B, C, and I can work out based on the logic of a kal v'chaymer that D, E, F, then DEF must be min ha-Torah. So if Birkas HaMazon is min ha-Torah, and that's how the whole sugya started off. Look again at the first line of the Gemara that we just began today. And it says, Tana Rabbanan, minayin le Birkas HaMazon min ha-Torah. So yes, we can discuss whether those drushas were real drushas or whether they were, some of them were asmachtas, they were only drabonon. I don't mind. But one thing is explicit. Birkas hamozain is min hatayra. That's mafurish in the Gemara. So if birkas hamozain is min hatayra, and we are making a kol shekein and a kal v'chaymer with regard to the bracha rishayna, then the inescapable conclusion must be that Brocha Rishayna is also min ha-Torah, because a kal v'chaymer is one of the Yud Gimel Midrash ha-Torah Nidrashes by. And that presents an enormous halachic problem. Because the brocha that you make before the bread, i.e. Amritzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, is not min ha-Torah. Is not min ha-Torah. In fact, it's a mafurish mishnah that it's not min ha-Torah. This is a mishnah that we learned a long time ago. It spoke about a baal keri, somebody who is temporarily tomei, and it says there that if he eats, he should not make a bracha rishayna. But he does make a bracha achrei. What's the difference? So the Gemara explained, because essentially, even in a state of tumah, you are allowed to make brachas. So we cannot waive birkas hamazon. If somebody's eaten and he's been satiated and he has a chiyuv min ha-Torah to bench, then whether he's tumah or not, that chiyuv cannot be waived, says the Gemara. But the bracha rishayna is only midrabbanan. And it was only midrabbanon, amritzi lechem min ha'aretz. So that Chazal did waive. So what do you see in the Mishnah, as the Gemara explains? That there's a clear distinction between the bracha rishayna and the bracha achrayna. And whereas the bracha achrayna is indeed the deiraisa, birkas hamazon, but the bracha rishayna is midrabbanon. So we have an absolute stira between the Gemara we just mentioned with regard to Baal Keri and the Gemara that we are learning now. If the Gemara teaches us that Birkas HaMazon afterwards is min ha-Torah, and then tells us that we can derive Birkas, the Brocha Lefonah, with a Kal V'chaymer, well, that certainly indicates that the Brocha Lefonah is also min ha-Torah. And yet we have the other sugya that says, no, it's not min ha-Torah, it's only Midrabbanon, and that's why Baal Keri doesn't say it. And that is called, in English, a glaring contradiction, which is everything that Nachum meant to ask. So if you have a look, Ramesh Zelig.
Yeah, what about Al HaMechia, Reina Fashos?
Good question. We paskin, that's all Midrabbanan.
Even though we're satisfied and
Correct, because satisfied is only referring to bread. Okay. Even though it's a big machlokes, Boyer and Afoshis is definitely drabonon. Ala michya, there is a big discussion. Some opinions maintain that it is, in fact, minatira. In fact, the brocha that you're referring to, ala michya, is, of course, known in the Gemara as a brocha me'ein sholish.
Yeah.
Right.
What does it mean, me'ein sholish? Means it's a brocha similar to the three brochas. Birkas Hamazon essentially has three brachas, as we've seen. The fourth one is just a rabbinic addition. So the Birkas Hamazon is sometimes referred to as the Birkas Shalosh, and the Ala Michya that you're referring to is called the bracha Me'ein Shalosh. So there are those opinions that say that both the Shalosh and its Me'ein counterpart are both Minatayra. We Paskin are both the only Drabonah. The Ochalta Vesavata is talking about Pas, is talking about Lechem. Either way, we are a little bit stuck. Our Gemara seems to indicate that Brocha Rishoino is Min Hatoiro. Again, Birkas Hamazon is definitely Doiraisa. And if I'm learning Brocha Rishoino through a Kal V'chomer, then the Brocha Rishoino also has to be Doiraisa. Okay, what's the problem? Problem is, why did we say in a Mishnah early on in the Masechta that a Brocha Rishoina should not be stated whilst in a state of Tumah? But Birkas Hamazon has to, because that's Deiraisa. Ah, so you're making a distinction. And yet our Gemara does not make a distinction. So this is a very serious question. If you have a Gemara Brochas in front of you,
which Brocha? Which Gemara?
Have a look, okay. Gemara Brochas, the one we're learning. Have a look in the Mishnah in Daf Chof on the base. 20b, Chof on the base. The Mishnah said, then we learn this, Baruch Hashem, once upon a time, Baal Keri. Somebody who's a Baal Keri, he's temporarily Tomei. Maharher Beliboy Ve'enoi Ve'enoi Mevarech Loila Foneha Ve'loila Achareho. He doesn't make a bracha either before or after, but Baal HaMozoin. But when it comes to Mozoin, what's Mozoin? Proper real food like bread, then Mevarech La'acharo. Then he does make a bracha afterwards. Quickly look in Rashi there. Have a look at Rashi at the side. Rashi says towards the end of the Mishnah, Va'al hamozoin mevorech la'acharov. Why? Three words. Dechiyuva doiraisa hi. The Baal Keri has to bench because that's a chiyuv doiraisa. And what does Rashi say in the next Rashi? But the Einoi Mevarech Lefonov, why? The Lav Deiraisahi. So Rashi has told us, it's a Mefurasha Mishnah, absolutely black on white, that the Brocha La'acharov is Deiraisa, and the Brocha Lefonov is Derabonov. So now turn, if you still have the Gemara open, the Daf Lamed Hey Omed Aleph, 35a. The Gemara in Daf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph quotes the Kal V'chomer that we mentioned before in our Gemara in Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis, that if I have to make a bracha afterwards, Kal V'chomer, I have to make a bracha before. So have a look at Tosfos there, the third last Tosfos on the Amud. Lamed Hei Amud Aleph, the third last Tosfos, Dibu HaMaspil Lefonov Leikol Shekein, says Tosfos, Lav Kal V'chomer hi. I'm sorry to tell you, says Tosfos, this cannot be a sound Kal V'chomer. Why? The Imkein, because if it's really true, Tehei Brocha de Lefonov Mideiraisa. Because if the Kal V'chomer is true, then the Brocha Lefonov is going to have to be Deiraisa. And yet, Ula'el Perek Misha Mesu, that the Gemara we just saw, Mashma Gabagal Keri, the Lav Deiraisehi. He then goes on, Rabbi Yehuda, etc., etc. So Tosfos has very neatly juggled all the Gemaras. The Gemara in Daf Chof on the base and Chof Aleph on the Aleph clearly makes a distinction between Bracha Lefonov and Acharov. And if I have a Gemara that tells me that there's a Kal V'chomer, says Tosfos, I have no choice but to say that this is actually not a sound Kal V'chomer. And the Gemara cannot mean it literally. It is not a true Kal V'chomer. And therefore, again, this goes back to what we began with. Even though the Braisa was quoting drushes, etc., etc., but we know that some of them are not real drushes, right? Hateva Meitiv is obviously not a real drush, it's only a bracha drabonon. So Tosfos is telling you the same with regard to the Kal V'chomer. The Kal V'chomer is also not an absolute deraisa Kal V'chomer. It's only midrabonon, and that's mufurish in the Gemara in Daf Chof, that bracha la'acharov is indeed deraisa. But the bracha lefonov is only midrabonon, and moirav raboisai, that is the way that we paskin. And this has, by the way, enormous halachic ramifications. If somebody ate a full meal and then cannot remember, did I bench or did I not bench? Can't remember. So because benching is da'iraisa, so we pass, and he's got to bench again. Sofik da'iraisa, lechum. Okay, we'll have to hold it over here. Mitzvah Shem will continue next time.
Right.
All the best, everybody. Be well. Rav Nachum will be in touch.
See you Thursday night.